Well, as promised, our broadcast partners are standing by. We go to Washington, D.C., and an old-time friend, a broadcast partner for many years, Colonel Bob McGinnis. Hey, Bob, I have many things to talk about. Let me get it right underway, and I guess the first would have to be Moscow has conducted a large-scale nuclear attack drill. Now, this was a surprise drill that Vladimir Putin put on his people and his military. What are your thoughts about what's happening there in Moscow?
I have a little helicopter here at the Pentagon, so it's a bit noisy. But the fact is that, you know, Vladimir Putin, of course, has never surrendered the position that the Soviet Union had, even though they've, since 1989, been a so-called democracy. He has great ambitions for the resurgence of the Russian government and building a strong military to include a nuclear-capable military with submarine-based ballistic missiles and land-based ballistic missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles, to rival the United States and the rest of the world and any possible opponents is something that we shouldn't be surprised at, and certainly this exercise demonstrates that.
By the way, Bob said that there was a helicopter behind him. He's just outside the Pentagon in Washington. We go to the base when we need to find someone who can give us input about what is really happening in the world. Bob, thanks for being available, by the way. Let me also ask you about the recent report from Forbes magazine that Vladimir Putin has leapfrogged over President Obama to become the most powerful man in the world. And it looks to me like with this surprise drill, this nuclear attack drill, the fact that Putin is sending delegates into Cairo, Egypt, to fill the void that the United States left there when they pulled away from giving any financial aid or foreign aid to the Egyptian government because of the military control. And now, with Putin becoming the most powerful man in the world, it looks like he's standing up on his hind legs and trying to take back that position with Russia, the number one superpower in the world.
Well, there's no doubt that Vladimir Putin has consolidated power, especially over his energy sector, which is the primary source of his liquidity for investment in his vision for Russia, and that is reemerging as it was formerly as the Soviet Union, as an international power player. The idea that Forbes saw him trumping President Obama is not a surprise, given all of what you pointed out with regard to Egypt, but also I think his victory over the Syrian debacle. Now, basically, what Putin was able to do is to stop the emergence of the U.S. striking into that particular country a month ago. And now we find that, you know, the peace talks are questionable and there's all sorts of activity continuing. So there are a host of things that have really bolstered Putin's reputation and his gravitas domestically and internationally, and he's taking advantage of it.
Speaking of Syria, it looks like the organization that went in to destroy the chemical weapons of mass destruction have accomplished their goal. Do you think that is the case, or would possibly Bashar Assad be holding back some of his weapons?
If I were him, I'd hold back some weapons. And so I suspect that there are some. With so many sites, dozens of sites, this particular organization went into a handful of them. They say they have put seals on them, which is sort of laughable given the history of these international organizations, especially vis-a-vis what we saw in Iraq and other countries previously. What they essentially have claimed to do is destroy the infrastructure that builds and completes weapons. But there are hundreds of tons of weapons they've accounted for. What I'm concerned about, obviously, is the weapons that are unaccounted for that are in secret places that can be used by the military in the future. And I suspect that there is some of that.
Meanwhile, the United States is making reference to a Israeli attack on a Syrian airbase someplace over the Mediterranean. It seems like Israeli Air Force jets struck a base on the coast of Syria. Do you know anything more about that?
Well, it would appear as if, and it's been reported by a number of sources, so it's fairly credible whether or not it was Israeli jets. I think the speculation is yes. It was a port city that, of course, is under the control of Assad, and it was receiving a Russian shipment of SA-125 surface-to-air missiles, but there was already in place an SA-3 missile battery. So what the Israelis were likely concerned about is, in fact, they were the ones that did this attack is that in future attacks, that they want to make sure that the air defense capability of Assad is diminished. And so you can prick it to death and make sure that these vulnerable areas, especially where you have to ingress through a particular part of a country to get to deeper targets, and that would be a logical one.
Before we leave the theme looking at Syria, the regime, it has been reported, has been using North Korean pilots to do some of their fighting. What's the significance of that, and is it the case?
Well, Assad has turned a blind eye, or has certainly welcomed virtually anybody to come in and fight on his side. Hezbollah by the thousands, even I suspect Hamas, Iraqi militia, Iranian Revolutionary Guardsmen. You have just about everybody else in there. And keep in mind, the North Koreans have been very, very close to Iran, which is a close ally of Syria. And for North Koreans to go in and do what they call security assistance of a key ally is not a surprise. Keep in mind, in 07, the Israelis reportedly bombed a preliminary nuclear site in the eastern part of Syria, allegedly put together by North Korean scientists. And so the relationship between Assad and the North Koreans in Pyongyang is not at all surprising, and this is quite possibly true.
What about there is a late report that the possibility of Hezbollah preparing to go into Damascus and do the battle to control Damascus for the Bashar Assad regime?
Hezbollah has its vested interest in securing its ally, Assad. And, of course, Damascus is, as you know, Jimmy, not very far from the Lebanese border. And so they want to remove any of the Sunni jihadists and the opposition to Assad so that they secure that part of the countryside. I'm not surprised, perhaps. Of course, there have been rumors that Hezbollah has decided to withdraw some of its personnel from elsewhere in the Syrian battlefield. And it may be so they can consolidate and really have a pitched battle there in Damascus if necessary.
Bob, I know with your opportunity to be involved in strategy making for the United States and for other organizations as well, you have been for many, many years a China watcher. And now today, the Washington Times reporting that Chinese submarines could attack targets in the United States. Now, I'm not sure if you read the article yet or know the story, but more that sounds a little bit alarming.
Well, the Chinese have a very robust submarine fleet. In numbers, it parallels ours. They don't quite have the silent running capability, though they like to steal virtually all our technology where possible. They do have a ballistic missile capability off their submarines. And yes, they could, if they wanted to, use those ballistic missiles as part of a triad to launch against targets in the United States from off the west or the east, coast. That's all speculation to a certain degree, but fairly well informed.
Fairly well informed. Very interesting. Well, let's just conclude our conversation with one more article focusing on China. Looks like with their economic power base that they have controlling the debt of the United States, they want to de-Americanize the world as far as the currency is concerned and insert theirs. This could be a very interesting move.
Well, it is. And, of course, the Chinese are soon to be the world's primary largest economy. They own a lot of our debt. They are very jealous of the fact that the dollar is the basis for world trade on most petroleum and a host of other things. And so the renminbi, which is the currency of China, they've been holding back until about 2005, where they really didn't let it be traded globally. And, of course, after that, they started to allow it to be traded globally. And now they're talking about actually usurping the U.S. dollar across the trading zones in the globe. And so this is serious. There was a congressional research report done about three or four months ago that expressed the concern of the U.S. Congress about how the U.S. economy is disadvantaged by an under-rated Chinese currency, which has hurt our trade with that particular country, making things that we sell them much more expensive and things they sell us much cheaper. So that would explain to a certain degree the trade imbalance that we have with China. But China is maturing. It has an incredibly large military. And it's, of course, the reason why this administration has decided to rebalance to Asia. And in fact, Jimmy, in the next couple of weeks, I'll be in that part of the world working on some of the issues we're talking about.
Colonel Bob McGinnis in Washington, D.C., looking from his vantage point at geopolitical activities around this world. And maybe we'll try to catch him when he is out there in the Far East. Bob, thank you so very much for your insight and input to us here on Prophecy Today.
Well, thank you, Jimmy.